King Asa, we learned a number of things about King Asa, and then I'll mention some folks in the church, and we'll pray for those that are sick in the morning service. But Asa, we learned that he was the king that reversed the curse, right? Israel had two bad kings, Rehoboam, and the one to follow Rehoboam for 20 years, and then Asa comes into the picture, and Asa is a good king. And during Asa's reign, he had rest, or there was rest in Judah. We talked about the benefit of rest for us. Rest in our nation. Boy, it's nice when we're not at war. When we're at war, I don't know if you remember, but I remember coming home from Mexico. I was on a missions trip, and they just declared war on Iraq, Persian Gulf. And boy, it just leaves you unsettled when your country's in war. And when you're in personal conflict, when you have inner conflicts going on in your soul, when you have family conflicts going on, boy, there's something that wears on you. It's there. It's in the front of your mind. It's not something you can run from. It's during Asa's reign, Asa experienced rest for years, and Judah experienced rest for years. And part of it was that they sought the Lord. And God saw that they sought him, and so he gives rest. One of the blessings of life is rest. Thank God for rest. When you get rest for your body, thank God for that. When you get rest for your soul, thank the Lord for that. And he offers rest to those that will come to him. He certainly, Asa and Judah under his reign experienced rest. Number two, they experienced revival in the land. If you're taking notes or writing on your notes there on the back page, page number two, rest in Judah, revival in Judah. And we read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And Asa heard the prophecy of Oded the prophet. He took courage. He put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Anytime there's removal of sin and there's renewal of our altars, spiritual things are taking place. That's on a personal level. Anytime you're renewing time with the Lord, anytime that you're renewing commitments to the Lord, anytime that you're removing sin out of your life, you're confessing, you're forsaking sin, hey, good things. Spiritual life is well in your life. They needed that as a nation. That happened under Asa. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 is all about that, which leads to the next blank, the double blank there, removal and restoration. Removal and restoration. Remember, he needed someone to urge him, Asa, in what he was already thinking about. And the phrase took courage in 2 Chronicles 15:8 talks about the prophecy of Oded, and he took courage and put away the abominable idols. That means that he was thinking about it, but he had to get beyond thinking about it and do something about it. And it was the prophecy that moved that. In your life, preaching ought to do the same thing for you. You might be thinking, God might be working on you about something, but then the preaching of the word comes forth, and it should help us to take courage to move on what God's been dealing with us about. That's what took place in Asa's life, and removal and restoration took place as a result of the revival. Then we get to point number four. He's a man that was not perfect, but his heart was perfect toward God. But Asa, in the last 5 years of his reign, all right, reigned for 37 years. In the last 5 years, he took a turn, and not a good turn. King Uzziah, if you remember in 2 Chronicles 26, King Uzziah, powerful king, successful king in his day. Last few years, he thought he was the exception to offering sacrifices. He thought he could do what the priest could do. And how did it end up? He ended up a leper, didn't he? He ended up separated. Boy, the last years of your life, that's a terrible thing for the last years of your life to be a wrong turn in the road. And that's what happened to Asa here. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. If you're filling in your blanks, His turn was that he relied on himself, or the blank is reliance on self. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and look at verse number 8. Now, earlier on in his reign, remember, he fought the million Ethiopians. And he came to God and said, God, we're weak. We can't accomplish this. Lord, if you don't intervene, they're going to destroy us. He relied on God. And that's what it's referencing here. 2 Chronicles 16, look at verse number 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Turn back, if you would, to 2 Chronicles 14. We can read a little bit about that. And Brother Larry Buckmaster, would you read verses 9 through 12 of 2 Chronicles 14? Verse 12. Yep.
So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Asa's leading the nation of Judah, or the kingdom of Judah, to pray to God and saying in verse number 11, powerful verse, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Lord, this is nothing for you. There's a million Ethiopians that we're against, but this is nothing. Lord, we rest in thee. God, we're coming against them in thy name. Lord, we're depending upon thee. And they slew them. And by the way, Judah had about half the army that the Ethiopians had. And so they slew them. Now, in Asa's reign, Baasha from the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, gets into war with Judah. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And so during the times of Baasha, when Baasha was king, he was always at war with, or trying to be at war with, Asa. And look at 1 Kings chapter 15. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 15. And Asa, instead of relying totally upon the Lord in this situation, Asa is going to make a league with Syria. And in that, he's transferring his dependence from being on the Lord to on another formidable military to help him. We pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 16. Brother Jared, could you read verses 16 through 22? 1 Kings 15, 16 through 22.
And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were in, left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord, and the treasuries of the king's house, delivered them into the hand of his servants, and King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee presents of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from thee. So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the hosts which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel, Beth, Maacah, and all of Cinnereth, with all the lands of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard thereof, that he left off building of Ramah, and dwelt in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted. And they took away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had builded. And King Asa built with him Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah.
All right, little understanding of the text and the setting here. Baasha is upset because some of his people from the northern kingdom are leaving and going south. Now that's the result of the revival. Remember when everything was happening, they saw up north that the Lord was with Asa and with Judah. And so they are having immigration issues. And Baasha is not happy about it. And so Baasha sets up in Ramah. And his whole goal here in verse number 17 is that he might not suffer any to go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Or in other words, we're going to put a blockade here. And nobody else is going to be able to get down southern kingdom, and nobody's coming out. Those that left us, they're stuck in Judah. And anybody else that wants to go down to him, no, they're not getting any more of our people. Okay? And so Asa has a league, builds a league with Ben-Hadad and with Syria. And guess what? Just like the Ethiopians, they're victorious. Or the plan works. And they're able to take Ramah over in verse number 21. He left off building of Ramah. Boy, Baasha was building. Boy, Baasha was trying to expand the kingdom further south. And as a result of Judah and as a result of Syria coming together, he kind of leaves that project off. They took away the stones of Ramah, the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had builded, and King Asa built with them Geba, Benjamin, and Mizpah, and everything. Boy, God's continuing to bless. Only problem is that Asa didn't go to the Lord on this one. Like he did with the Ethiopians. Lord, we rest in thee. Lord, it's nothing if they're powerful or if they're weak. It's nothing for you to deliver us. Lord, let not man prevail against thee. Lord, we need you. But now in this situation with Baasha, Asa left an important step out. That was talk to the Lord. Turn to 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16. Look at verse number 7. 2 Chronicles 16, verse number 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Verse number 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Thou hast done foolishly. But we resolved the problem. I mean, Baasha didn't take Ramah. We are protecting the land. I could hear maybe the argumentation going off in Asa's mind as the seer Hanani is speaking. I've got reasoning for this. You know, we needed to involve Syria. And the prophet here says, no, you've done foolishly. And because you've done foolishly, now there's going to be wars. Henceforth, thou shalt have wars, plural. And Asa's going to follow this track now. You would have thought prophet confronts him. He gets it right. Okay, I got to make sure I'm relying upon the Lord. But turn to 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16, look at verse number 12. Now we're in a physical situation in his life. And now we're finding a similar problem. Paul, can you read 2 Chronicles 16 and verse number 12? So Baasha, he's in the situation with Baasha. Man, Asa has led an exemplary life. before Judah, before his family. But he switches gears, just a slight shift. Not going to seek the Lord. Going to figure this one out on my own. By the way, may I remind you that God is not interested in you being dependent upon him and something else, splitting dependence. He wants us dependent upon him. Now he's diseased in his feet. And what's going on? Oh, he sought not the Lord, but consulted in physicians. Question, is it wrong to go to physicians? No. But what should we do first? Talk to God about it. Pray about it. Asa did not. And it's recorded. Do you think that these words given to us by the Holy Spirit on the pages of Scripture are for the purpose of reminding us to rely upon the Lord in every situation? Asa, good king. Many good things. Last 5 years of his life, boy, made a couple mistakes. One was he began to rely on himself and the way he's going to solve his problems and his kingdom's problems and not on the Lord. Second mistake was his response to rebuke. His response to rebuke. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 17. Dan Merriman, can you look that up for me? Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 17. And everybody else can turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It is interesting that the prophet goes to him. Now, sometimes if you've gone to somebody in the past and you've tried to share rebuke and they haven't responded wisely, you may feel prompted to go to them again about something that you have a concern about. But if they didn't respond wisely before, you're a lot less likely to speak up again. Here the prophet goes to Asa, and he's correcting him on this problem of relying on self, and maybe thinking to himself, surely Asa will get this right. Surely he'll see this, and he'll correct it, and he'll get back on the right path in this area. But next blank, reliance on self, but his response to rebuke is something to learn from. Dan, Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 17. Erith. Now, think about this. Here's a person that is getting reproof. Do you get reproof for doing right? No, you usually get reproof for doing wrong, right? I've done something wrong, so there's verbal correction. Reproof here is verbal correction. And so now God brings reproof into Asa's life with a chance to get on the right track. Did you ever look at reproof that way? When you're teaching your young people how to receive reproof, remind them reproof is a blessing from God. It's a chance to get right. But here the Bible talks about, in Proverbs 10, verse number 17, he that hateth or he that refuseth reproof, erreth. Now watch this. Somebody that's receiving reproof, they're already erring. Right? They're already in the wrong. So when reproof comes and they shove that out of the way, they don't receive it, they reject it. They're really plunging down that path in a wrong direction now. When you receive reproof in your life, whether it's from the Word of God or the Spirit of God, or brother or sister, or your children receive reproof, you have to understand that is a very critical point in your life. Because the Lord in His mercy is trying to help you to steer differently. But if you reject it, you're going to go further down the wrong path in your life. Such is the story of Asa. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And I want you to look at verse number 10. Hanani has spoken to him. He says in verse number 8, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them out of thy hand. But in verse number 7, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord. Hanani took him to his past and said, with the Ethiopians, you relied on the Lord. But now with the situation with Baasha and the king of Syria, you didn't rely on the Lord. And these are words of reproof. When somebody says, thou hast done foolishly, those are words of reproof. Change course. Now, what happens in Asa's life here? He's at a crossroads. How's he going to respond to reproof? Is he going to humble himself and say, prophet, you're right. God, I'm wrong. Lord, I was wrong that I did not rely upon you. Please forgive me, Lord. I want to restore right relationship and right direction in my life. That would have been wonderful if verse number 10 was written that way. But verse number 10 is not written that way. Verse number 10 is actually written how our flesh responds to reproof, every single one of us. Look at it. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. The words went, and Asa's heart went, the seer, he's the problem. The person that's bringing the reproof, he's the problem. And put him in a prison house. For he was enraged with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. I think this is interesting. Boy, how we respond to reproof not only affects us, but it affects others. Here Asa didn't respond under spirit control. He did not respond in humility. Instead, he responded in anger. And when he responded in anger, his anger was poured out first on Hanani. But then the Bible says he oppressed some of the other people. And again, the words of Scripture are important the same time. This was not characteristic of Asa. Asa was not an oppressor of his people. But all of a sudden, at the time at which he's confronted, when his heart has drifted from the Lord, and he's confronted by the prophet, hey, Asa, bring that heart back. Hey, Asa, get away from going that direction. He gets angry, throws the seer into a prison. That's acting like an ungodly king. That's Ahab and Jezebel searching out the prophets. Right? Well, this is godly King Asa. You know, anger can make us look very much like the unsaved crowd. He was wroth. He handled Asa that way, and he oppressed the people. What's it mean to oppress, preacher? You look it up. Open your Strong's, look it up. It means to crack in pieces. It means to bruise. It means to crush. Not only is he dealing with the seer in a wrong way, he is now handling the people in that same anger. Do you understand, folks, that when we hear reproof, it is vital that we respond properly. If we do not respond properly, you understand what's going to take root in our hearts is fleshly reactions that are going to do damage to others. Reproof is an important crossroad in all of our lives. Do you listen when the Holy Spirit rebukes and instructs, corrects? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof, and for correction. That's why the word's given to us. That we'll be corrected. That we'll be reproved. Do you listen when someone who loves you tries to point you in the right direction? Do you listen? Do you follow? Do you submit? Asa, good king, 32 years of his life, last 5 years. Some bad choices. One of them was his reliance on self. One of them was his response to rebuke. Lastly, look at his reputation before the Lord. His reputation before the Lord. He was not perfect, and these were problems, yet the Bible gives this description of Asa. 2 Chronicles 15, verse number 17 says, "But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days." In 1 Kings chapter 15, verse number 11, "And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord." 1 Kings, we're reminded that though he was not a perfect person, his heart was perfect, or it was complete towards the Lord. What are some spiritual lessons that we can learn from Asa as I close out the lesson this morning? Number one, how you respond to advice is crucial to your future. How you respond to good counsel, advice, is crucial to your future. He listened to Azariah earlier in his life. What happened in the nation? They had revival. He didn't listen to Hanani later in his life. What happened? He had war. That's a drastic difference. Revival? Rejoicing? Or war? How you respond to advice is crucial in your life. Number two, when you are with the Lord, He is with you. When you are with the Lord, He is with you. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2 paints that picture that Asa received at the beginning of his reign, this warning that, hey, if you're with God, God's going to be with you. And when you're not with God, God's not going to be with you. Important lesson. Number three, rest in the land paves the way for growth. Rest results from repenting and removing idols in your life. Rest in the land, they were able to build. They were able to grow. When there's war in the land, guess what? You're all fighting war. Not much growth going on. You're in the midst of battle. And over the years, in ministry work, that's very, very true. When there's rest in the church, guess what? We grow. Our focus can be on outreach. Our focus can be on building one another up. When there's conflict in the church, that slows down. We're pouring all our time into these things. What do you like to pour time into? Do you like to pour time into war? I don't. I like to pour time into building. I like to have rest. But understand that when there's war, it's going to rob from rest. There are times of war. Hey, there are times where we need to fight. Okay? When an adult entertainment center wanted to move in down here, it's time to fight. Okay? There are times to battle. It's not peace at any cost. But we ought not to want to fight with each other. Israel, God's people, 10 northern tribes. Judah, 2 southern tribes, God's people. Not good. Not good. Important that we understand that. Number four, humility requires admitting our deficiencies and our helplessness. We saw this in Asa before God with the Ethiopians, the battle with the Ethiopians, that he said, hey, we can't do this. Lord, we totally need you. That's prayer of humility. Have you said that to God recently in your life about anything? As Americans, more than third world countries, we tend to get pretty self-sufficient. We feel self-sufficient. We pay our own bills, rightfully so. We get our own jobs. We build our own houses. We fill in the blank. But humility in prayer says, God, I can't, and I need you too. That's humility. Asa, at a time in his life, practiced that, and then later in his life, didn't practice that. You say, preacher, I'm there right now. Boy, I'm taking things to the Lord, and I'm depending upon the Lord. Yes, but you may not be there tomorrow. Just because you're there in this season of your life, We've got to keep that in mind, that humility means I bring before God my deficiencies, my helplessness. Number five, when we respond wrong to rebuke, it often results in pouring out anger on others. How do you respond when God confronts you? Well, I just avoid thinking about it. Is that what God wants? I get angry with the messenger. Is that what God wants? I avoid God, I avoid church, I avoid godly friends, I avoid the Bible. Yeah. Yeah. Parents, let me give you a little insight here. It is very, very important how you teach your children that you resolve conflict. Because if in your home everybody shoves it under the table and ignores one another and is silence and we never resolve it biblically, you know what you're teaching your children to do? You know what they're watching? They're watching that the way that I handle conflict, reproof in my life is I just avoid. I just avoid. And that's not the way we handle it. Sometimes things need to be hit head on. Sometimes it needs to be open conversation. There needs to be brokenness. There needs to be humility. There needs to be forgiveness offered, wrongs that are made right. Those things need to be put into practice. How do you respond to reproof? Does it break your heart and you turn to God for help? That's a biblical response. Are you upset with yourself and determined to try harder? Do you compare yourself with others and decide that really you're not that bad? Oh, there's a number of fleshly responses when the Holy Spirit tags our heart on something, and we better have a spiritual response. Number six, the greatest consequence in our lives are not only from acts of sin, but for the failure to repent when we are directly confronted by the Lord with our sin. Asa committed sin, but the greater problem he had was he didn't respond to the reproof. So it is in our lives. In a crisis, we will either rely on the Lord or rely on someone or something else. That's true in all of our lives. Every time there's a crisis, we put dependence somewhere. Dependence must be on the Lord. And lastly, the most revealing truth about you right now is not what you are going through, but where your heart is as you are going through it. Not what you are going through. It's not the crisis. For Asa, it wasn't the war with Baasha. It was where his heart was at in the midst of the war with Baasha that the scriptures illumine, that the scriptures bring to the surface. And so it is with us. It's not the crisis that's the big thing. It is where your heart is at in the midst of the crisis that is the big thing. Lessons that we learn from Asa's life. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,